Ryan Fay on Impact 103. This one is titled Celebrate, getting us to exactly 24 minutes before we get to 5 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to The Afternoon Drive with Khosi, and it is so good to be with you. We are exactly 15 days away before we get to our national elections happening on the 29th of May. And as we draw closer, we as a station, as a nation, churches across the nation have been setting time aside to pray together because we understand the importance of these particular elections and the importance of being able to create space and ask the Lord to be able to meet us in this place of these elections. And I think that's something that's extremely vital and extremely important. But at the same time, as we're praying and creating time to trust God for what He will do on the 29th of May and even leading up to the 29th and beyond the 29th, I think it's vital for us to be able to equip ourselves in terms of what we should be doing, what we should be looking out for when it comes to the elections, what we should be researching and apply ourselves and do our part in being responsible in how we actually go about going to the elections, going to the polls on the 29th of May. Who do we choose? And the all important question of who do I vote for is a question that none of us can be able to answer for you, but you ought to answer yourself. And it takes some responsibility of doing some work, of finding out what I should look out for, who I should be assessing, what are the things to look out for in the manifestos. What is a manifesto to even begin with? And all importantly, to start that conversation is the question of why I should be voting. And someone who's joining us to be able to help unpack this journey that we've been on since last week Tuesday and will continue to the 28th of May is Boshoff Khrobla, who's now officially becoming a friend of Impact 103, but he's from the Heal Our Land Institute, which is really passionate in ensuring that, I think especially for this conversation, that we are making wise decisions when it comes to our elections, and we are ensuring that we put our values, or rather we put our X to where our values are. And he joins us again for a second part of this conversation. Boshoff, welcome back to The Afternoon Drive. Of course, it's good to have you back.
Thank you very much, Khosi. Nice to be here.
It's great to be chatting to you again. And I think from the last time, I was telling you just now before we started the interview that I felt empowered from our previous conversation, just in terms of just being enlightened of my responsibility to vote as a Christian and why I should vote. And I kind of walked away feeling like, man, I'm so fired up. I'm telling anyone who would wait with me for longer than 5 seconds of why they should vote. But somebody else might have missed this conversation. And maybe let's recap that from there. A lot of people feel like the vote means absolutely nothing, and they don't feel the importance to vote because they just feel like, well, it's going to be a replay of the previous elections and the ones before with just some minor adjustments. So for someone who's asking the question, why should we vote? What do you have to say to them?
A sound democratic process allows us Christians and non-Christians to elect leaders who will create an environment where the kingdom of heaven can come to South Africa, can come to Pretoria, to come to wherever we live, work and play. And the question then is, why people, Christians and non-Christians in South Africa that have the privilege of a democratic process wouldn't use it towards that end? Many times we forget the fact that there are many countries in this world that don't have the privilege of a democratic system that's entrenched in the constitution, is protected by our courts. And we've got this small little thing called a freedom of speech that's equally protected. And all of those privileges, in my opinion, gives us the responsibility to use it towards putting people in power that will create an environment where God's kingdom can come to earth.
Yeah, and I think that's a part where a lot of us, and I mentioned this last week, that there's sort of a disconnect that we sometimes do, and we think God and we think about politics and these type of affairs. We almost feel like God is completely separated from it, but we see the Word of God is really filled with so many areas where it indicates to us that no, actually, all the more to involve God in there and to reflect the kingdom of God into those particular spaces. But another question that I think is I've been talking to a lot of young people, and they feel like, well, my one vote, it's really not going to make the difference. And I think there's conversations of there are almost 8 million people that feel that, well, it's just my one vote, and they don't feel that their one vote is all important. There's people that's just completely lost hope and they don't think it's significant. Is their vote actually important, or is it just their one vote that is probably not going to be missed?
This time around, Khosi, their votes are even more important than probably ever before. And the reason for that, as we said last time, is that we are now passing a 400-year mark in South Africa. and in the tip of Africa, where we had a one-party governed state. And most of the polls are indicating that we are, whether at national level or at various provincial levels, will be looking at a coalition of sorts or a government of national unity of sorts. And in those type of environments, each and every vote counts for each and every party, because we don't know how coalitions may be constructed. So if anybody's asking the question, does my vote count? The answer is absolutely yes, this time round more than ever.
And I think that is a very important message, because, like I mentioned, if the assumption and the figures are saying close to 8 million, those are 8 million votes that could absolutely change the elections if all those 8 million actually go on the 29th of May and cast their votes. Now, Boshoff, I think we're getting into some of the meaty part of this conversation, because there's all the conversations about manifestos. All the parties have their manifestos. And the manifestos really gives the ethos and the focus of that particular party. But maybe let's start there. What is a manifesto? It might be a word that for so many people they've been hearing, but they have no idea. Is it their Bible? Is everything in there? Is it stipulated that they have to say it there? So maybe let's start there.
So a manifesto is a document that each and every party that competes in their national elections puts out, and they say, this is what we stand for. And they usually do it in a way that you can compare the statements from various parties with each other. So the quickest, soundest way to answer the question, who should I vote for, is to have sight of the manifestos, the document of what a particular party stands for, and then to compare those in a sound and biblical manner.
Yeah, I think the biblical manner is especially important, because I think that's where we're going. Okay, this is actually important for us to go do the work, right? To go read and be responsible and familiarize ourselves with those manifestos to make our decision. But then all importantly is being able to look at it from a biblical lens. Let's maybe double click into that. How exactly does the Bible look at manifestos? Because like I mentioned, for a lot of us, we separate the two. But now you're saying there's an importance of us applying our biblical lens as we read through those manifestos. What does that look like?
Well, let me maybe say, as a businessman in South Africa, that one of the most godly tools, for example, in stewardship, is a tool called Excel, an Excel spreadsheet. So we many times, as you say, you miss the reality of real life tools to give you an answer to a biblical concept, for example, like stewardship. So when we look at the manifestos, the Bible gives us a massive guide into how we should think about and decant these manifestos into the various portions. And if you base it on scripture, then you don't get lost with the rhetoric and maybe populist action and things that are happening in the world. You are basing it on the foundation of what God has given us to do. So when I look at manifestos, I've got two structures that I work with. The first structure is, what is my role as Christian in South Africa? And we mentioned this the last time, Ron. It is to know God, to love his people, and to impact South Africa in a positive way. So then with those three things, I literally take the manifestos and I say, what are the things in the manifestos that are important to God? I put them in a category. Then what are the things that are important to my fellow South Africans, God's people? I put them in a category. And then I put the things that are important to South Africa as a country in a category. Because now I know I'm considering all the things in the manifestos that are part of my role as a Christian to consider. So let's take the first one. What is important to God? Now, life is important to God. So when I then look at a manifesto and I look at what a political party is saying about the right to life, what does a political party have to say about something that is so important to God, right to life, in abortion and euthanasia, as an example? So I can't just sweep something that is important to God and hence part of my role as a Christian in voting in this election. I can't sweep it under the carpet. I can't disregard it. I need to say life is important to God. Abortion and euthanasia is massively important. And then and go and judge that against scripture. What does scripture say about the right to life? The second one that's very, very contentious at the moment in time is what is important to fellow South Africans. And schooling, sexuality, and morality are the three main things that come up over and over and over again. So when I think about what is important to people in South Africa, I should ask the question, what is a political party has to say about schooling content and whether parents have a say in what their kids get taught at school? Now, certain parties say it's up to the state in its entirety. Other parties say it's up to parents. And then you get to comprehensive sexual education in schools. Again, various parties have different views on it. And the last one in this category that I really look at is the one on morality. What do political parties say about legalizing things like prostitution and pornography? And all of these things I then take to scripture and I say, what does scripture say is the responsibility and the right to parents to determine what their kids get exposed to? What does scripture say about morality and prostitution and pornography and the like? And then let that be my guide as to how I direct my vote in a particular party's direction.
And I think what you're saying is so important. Sorry, I'm jumping in, Boshoff, because I think for a lot of us, we always just think about it just on an overarching perspective in terms of, do they believe in God and that's it? But those policies and those different areas are kind of what's going to flesh out into us as a nation, and being able to double click into it category by category and breaking down the manifesto like that, we'll be able to kind of get a glimpse, I assume, into what future South Africa could look like should they be in the ruling position.
Absolutely. And it is so significant that people say, you know, my parents voted for this party, I'm going to vote for that party. My ancestors voted for that party, I'm going to vote for that party. And the party's policies have changed over time, and then our understanding of those policies have not necessarily shifted. And many times, just Christians that I speak with, they don't bring the biblical perspective to these policies. And biblical perspectives, even to policies that relate to property rights. So the other big one is property rights and the expropriation of property without compensation. And people have written about, I've written about it, I've had many talks about it. But the soundest place that I can find to guide me into what is the biblical perspective of this is the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house. It means that property rights is important to God. And the reason why property rights are important to God, I mean, he even goes further in Deuteronomy 19:14, where he says, you shall not move your neighbor's landmark, because that is then stealing. So then the question is, okay, why is God so crazy about the property rights and the rights of individuals? And I think it is because protecting property rights protects the most sacred thing that God has given us other than his son, and that is free will. Mm. So when I give property rights over to the state or to society as opposed to a person, it means that I am derogating from the free will of that person. And that is why the property rights are so instilled, and why, in fact, I believe that scripture base or protects a free market system as opposed to another type of system. So when I look at a manifesto, I say, which of these political parties protects property rights, protects a free market, and then have policies to ensure, like triple BEE, have policies to ensure that things that went wrong in the past through righteousness and justice get corrected.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm already listening to what you've mentioned right now, Boshoff, and I think for a lot of us, it could be something that somebody else is feeling. It could be just something I'm feeling in myself, where it's just kind of an awareness of how much of a role we see the decision we make now, the 29th of May, has into every sector and for generations to come. I mean, if we talk about some of the things that we've mentioned right now, we may be frustrated in terms of where we are as a nation into some of these policies, from euthanasia to parents' rights in schools. But if we don't take that decision now, it ultimately spills over into that time. Boshoff, I'm unfortunately, we're running out of time. And I'm so glad that we're getting to do this over a couple of weeks, because then it allows us so much more time. But you were talking about, or let me rather highlight this. One of the things that we know that you also very much encourage people to do, and I think maybe it might be a good thing to wrap up this conversation with, is to tell us a little bit more about your vote in terms of the pairing people's, what are the things that they would look out for. In kickstarting that conversation of really investigating into what the different parties look out for, what the different things are that I should highlight as important per different party. For me, not based on what is popular on social media or popular at the water cooler. So maybe let's round off our discussion with you introducing us to your vote, in the hopes that I think up until we catch up next week Tuesday, people will do the work, and then we'll pick up from there to say, okay, now that we've done the work, let's double click a little bit more so that come the 29th, we'll really make a responsible decision, because evidently from this conversation, it really infiltrates into day-to-day living that we experience.
So Your Vote is a website that takes the manifestos of five different parties and compares them on the basis of a dating site.
Huh.
So you can actually go on Your Vote. It's yohvote.com. And you go onto the site and it asks you a few questions to guide you into which party you would be able to date. And then through a dating site mechanism, it helps you to think about the manifestos in the context of comparing two or three parties to each other. So the parties that they cover are the ANC, the DA, EFF, IFP, and Action SA. So they don't do all the parties, but it's a very good start to be able to compare those parties that you are considering, maybe one or two or three, to compare them in a very structured manner.
And I think that is great, because it causes people to already start to apply themselves in terms of that comparison and really clicking into the detail of what the different parties stand. And of course, they're just a selection of five of the parties, which is the endless amount of parties that would be represented there. Boshoff, I am so grateful for this time that we spent together. And I think for a lot of people now, it's the hard work of taking what we've spoken about, breaking it down into these three different categories of love God, love people, and really bring the kingdom of God on in South Africa, and actually go do the work of reading through those manifestos and looking through that lens of what does that look like for the different parties and which one best speaks towards that. So thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And of course, we look forward to catching up again next week, Tuesday.
Looking forward to it. Thanks,
absolutely.
Bossy.
Fantastic. That's Boshoff Grobler from Heal Our Land Institute unpacking for us all things leading up to the 29th of May, when we make our way to the polls and cast our vote. And my hope is that as you're wrapping up this conversation, that something moves in you that makes you realize all the more the importance of your vote, the importance of you actually going on the 29th of May to cast your vote. But more importantly, the importance of you doing the responsible thing of going and actually sit through the Word of God, apply the biblical lens as you read through the manifesto, understanding that the decision that you make actually influences not just what we see in terms of who sits in the office, but how that infiltrates into every single sector of society. And if you want to get more details on what we spoke about, do pop me a message on the WhatsApp line. I'll send you the link to that Your Vote to go check it out in a platform like a dating site, which I think a lot of us would be able to understand a little bit better. Go and check it out. Go see which of those five you are most compatible with. And it might not be the one you vote for on the 29th of May, but it may just be the starting point you need to let you consider and compare which party deserves your vote.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.